Thank you, Lord. Those of you that watch us online, God bless you. Thank you for joining in with us today. It's Pastor Chris Green. My wife, Carol, is sitting right here, along with all of the rest of the Urban Life Church family. And those of you that of our church family that has to work on Sundays and you watch this, you catch up later on in the week on Wednesdays. Glad that you're able to connect with us and stay up to date and in the flow with what God is doing in our midst. Well, as we always do, we want to open up with prayer. And we want to pray the prayer that the Lord has given us to begin our teaching sessions with. So let's get right to it. As today we want to talk about fighting for our families. And our strange subject today is home invasion. Let's pray this together. Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the thoughts of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my mistakes, I do not take offense. I will change and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says that Jesus did not come to condemn people. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of brothers and sisters, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes for they see, and my ears for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. And Lord, as your servant, I bow before you, submit myself to you so that you can speak through me. Chris Green decreases that you would increase in this place. Lord, I believe that this is a word that you gave me to share with your people for this hour and this era that we live in this nation. And I thank you, Lord God, for your wisdom to show us how to walk it out. How to live it out in day-to-day life, in everyday life. We trust you, Lord God, for the wisdom that comes only by the Holy Spirit, for the empowerment that comes only by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin today with a special article that was posted on Facebook about 2 weeks ago. It's an article that was written by a woman by the name of Kitty Werthmann. She's from Austria, and it was a December 22nd, 2012 event, but it was just posted a couple of weeks ago, and she basically gives a warning to America, says, what I'm going to tell you is something you've probably never heard or read in history books. And so I just want to share with you a bit of the article. And the things that she said, what happened when her country of Austria was taken over by Germany, by Hitler's Germany. She says, I am a witness to history. I cannot tell you that Hitler took Austria by tanks and guns. It would distort history. If you remember the plot of The Sound of Music, the von Trapp family escaped over the Alps rather than submit to the Nazis. Kitty wasn't so fortunate. Her family chose to stay in her native Austria. She was 10 years old, but bright and aware, and she was watching. She says, we elected him by a landslide, 98% of the vote, she recalls. She wasn't old enough to vote in 1938. She was approaching her 11th birthday, but she remembers. Everyone thinks that Hitler just rolled in with his tanks and took Austria by force. Not so. She said in 1938, Austria was in deep depression. Nearly one third of our workforce was unemployed. We had 25% inflation and 25% bank loan interest rates. Farmers and business people were declaring bankruptcy daily. Young people were going from house to house begging for food. Not that they didn't want to work, there simply weren't any jobs. She says, my mother was a Christian woman and believed in helping people in need. Every day we cooked a big kettle of soup and baked bread to feed those poor, hungry people, about 30 people daily. We look to our neighbor on the north, which was Germany, where Hitler had been in power since 1933, she recalls. We have been told that they didn't have unemployment or crime, and they had a high standard of living. Nothing was ever said about persecution of any group, Jewish or otherwise. We were led to believe that everyone in Germany was happy. We wanted the same way of life in Austria. We were promised that a vote for Hitler would mean the end of unemployment and help for the family. Hitler also said that businesses would be assisted and farmers would get their farms back. 98% of the population voted to annex Austria to Germany and have Hitler for our ruler. We were overjoyed, remembers Kitty, and for 3 days we danced in the streets and had candlelight parades. The new government opened up big field kitchens and everyone was fed. After the election, German officials were appointed, and like a miracle, we suddenly had law and order. 3 or 4 weeks later, everyone was employed. The government sure had a lot of work that was created through the Public Works Service. Hitler decided we should have equal rights for women. Before this, it was a custom that married Austrian women did not work outside the home. An able-bodied husband would be looked down on if he couldn't support his family. Many women in the teaching profession were elated that they could retain the jobs they previously had been required to give up for marriage. She said, then we lost religious education for kids. Our education was nationalized. She said, I attended a very good public school. The population was predominantly Catholic, so we had religion in our schools. The day we elected Hitler, March 13, 1938, I walked into my schoolroom and found the crucifix replaced by Hitler's picture hanging next to the Nazi flag. Our teacher, a very devout woman, stood up and told the class, we wouldn't pray or have religion anymore. The reason why I'm reading this to you is because doesn't it sound familiar? She goes on to say, Sunday became National Youth Day with compulsory attendance. You had to attend on National Youth Day this day. Parents were not pleased about the sudden change in curriculum. They were told that if they did not send us, they would receive a stiff letter of warning the first time. The second time, they would be fined the equivalent of $300. And the third time, they would be subject to jail. And then things got worse. I'm reading this to you because I want you to understand this is what's happening in America right now. The first 2 hours consisted of political indoctrination. The rest of the day, we had sports. As time went along, we loved it. Oh, we had so much fun and got our sports equipment free. We could go home and gleefully tell our parents about the wonderful time we had. My mother was very unhappy, remembers Kitty. When the next term started, she took me out of public school and put me in a convent. I told her she couldn't do that, and she told me that someday when I grew up, I would be grateful. There was very good curriculum, but hardly any fun. No sports and no political indoctrination in the new school she went to. I hated it at first, but felt I could tolerate it. Every once in a while on holidays, I went home. I would go back to my old friends and ask what was going on and what they were doing. Well, their loose lifestyle was very alarming to me. They lived without religion. By that time, unwed mothers were glorified by having a baby for Hitler, was the phrase. It seems strange to me that our society changed so suddenly. As time went along, I realized what a great deed my mother did so that I wasn't exposed to that kind of humanistic philosophy. In 1939, the war started and a food bank was established. All food was rationed and could only be purchased using food stamps. At the same time, a full employment law was passed, which meant if you didn't work, you didn't get a ration card. And if you didn't have a ration card, you starved to death. It's stuff nobody's ever told us.
That's happening now.
That's happening right now. I know it's happening now. That's right now, they're just saying everybody gets a card. You were mentioning that last week, Sister Marilyn, about switching over to everybody's got to have a card, even to get welfare. And so they're moving on to the next stage, which is you don't get the card unless you work. And so, well, how am I supposed to find a job? That's your problem. That's your problem.
They can't even get their benefits.
Yeah.
They don't even release
those. Okay, let me finish. It's happening in America right now. Just want you to understand. Women who stayed home to raise their families didn't have any marketable skills and often had to take jobs more suited for men. Soon after this, the draft was implemented. It was required for young people, male and female, to give 1 year of labor, give 1 year to the labor corps. Remembers Kitty. Right now, remember the big, right now the big deal they're making about women being involved in the military and getting in all this. Yeah, oh yeah, we're in the direct path. We're following the exact pattern. During the day, the girls worked on the farms, and at night they returned to their barracks for military training, just like the boys. They were trained to be anti-aircraft gunners and participated in the signal corps. After the labor corps, they were not discharged, but were used in the front lines. So what they were told was, you'd be required to be in the labor corps for 1 year, but what they didn't tell them is after you finished that 1 year, we sending you to the front lines. Men and women. And they're right now implementing that in the United States military. Women to the front line. And the way that they're getting over on people is keep making it sound like we're just providing the equal opportunity that all of the women wanted through the feminist movement. This is what you said you wanted. So we're sending y'all to the front line just like the men. This is what y'all wanted, so here you go.
Yep.
And the same thing that happened in Austria when Germany took over, when Hitler took over. She says, when I go back to Austria to visit my family and friends, most of these women are emotional cripples because they just were not equipped to handle the horrors of combat. 3 months before I turned 18, I was severely injured in an air raid attack. I nearly had a leg amputated, so I was spared having to go into the labor corps and into the military service. The only reason why she didn't go, because she got injured during an air raid. When the mothers had to go into the workforce, the government immediately established child care centers. You could take your children ages 4 weeks old to school age and leave them there around the clock, 7 days a week, under the total care of the government. The state raised a whole generation of children. There were no motherly women to take care of the children, just people highly trained in child psychology. By this time, no one talked about equal rights. We knew we had been had. Before Hitler, we had very good medical care. Many American doctors trained at the University of Vienna. After Hitler, health care was socialized, free for everyone. Doctors were salaried by the government. The problem was, since it was free, the people, everybody, was going to the doctor for everything. When the doctor arrived at his office at 8 a.m., 40 people were already waiting, and at the same time, the hospitals were full. If you needed surgery, you had to wait a year or two for your turn. This is what the people were screaming about who were opposed to Obamacare. They weren't opposed to Obama. They were opposed to this kind of care. So anytime somebody says spoke out against it, you don't understand. They're not opposing Obama.
Right.
This type of care has already been tried in the world.
Right, it doesn't.
It doesn't work. So people who understand history, this is what they were talking about.
Right.
They were saying 75 years ago when this was tried, it didn't work. It ain't gonna work now.
Right.
Woo! You see me, I'm getting all upset. Calm down, Pastor Chris. If you needed surgery, you had to wait a year or two for your turn. There was no money for research as it was poured into socialized medicine. Research at the medical schools literally stopped. So the best doctors left Austria and immigrated to other countries. There's no money for research. In other words, there's no money to be trying to find no cure anymore. It's just simply just sustain you till you die, which is the next system that is already being implemented also. It's some of the fine print that's in the new medical health system that's coming on board, where there is just simply what they call just, I forgot the terminology, but if anybody's really finds himself with a serious disease, there's nothing in place to try to cure the disease, as they call it, just make you comfortable. You're going to be building more and more hospices. Not hospitals, hospices. That's where we're headed. As for the healthcare, our tax rates went up to 80% of our income. Tax rate went up to 80% of our income. Newlyweds immediately received a $1,000 loan from the government to establish a household. So that sounds like a good thing. We had big programs for families. All daycare and education was free. High schools were taken over by the government and college tuition was subsidized. So everyone was entitled to free handouts, free food stamps, free clothing, free housing. All of that sounds great because that's what's got America right now. Everything, let's make this, all this stuff available for everybody. And I'm not opposed to that, but we're talking about what's the cost. Because when stuff is free, somebody's paying.
That's right.
You have to understand, when something is free, somebody's paying for it. And that's what she said. Can you imagine your taxes being 80%? You get a $1,000 check, it says on gross, but your take home is $200. That's where we're headed. This is where we're headed. Say, what does this have to do with Pastor Chris's message? The name of the message is Home Invasion. But I had to give you a little bit of history so you understand what Pastor Chris is talking about when I'm constantly going on about fighting for our families and the spiritual warfare that we are under right now. She said, we had another agency designed to monitor businesses. Check this out. My brother-in-law owned a restaurant that had square tables. Government officials told him he had to replace them with round tables because people might bump themselves on the corners. Then they said he had to have additional bathroom facilities. It was just a small dairy business with a snack bar. We couldn't meet all the demands. Soon he went out of business. If the government owned the large businesses, not many small ones existed. It could be in total control. We had consumer protection too. We were told how to shop, what to buy. Free enterprise was essentially abolished. We had a planning agency specifically designed for farmers. The agents would go to the farms, count the livestock, and then tell the farmers what to produce and how to produce it. That's being in place right now in America today. In 1944, she says, I was a student teacher in a small village in the Alps. The villagers were surrounded by mountain passes, which in the winter were closed off with snow, causing people to be isolated. So people intermarried and offspring were sometimes retarded. She said, when I arrived, I was told that there were 15 mentally retarded adults, but they were all useful and did good manual labor. I knew one named Vincent very well. He was a janitor of the school. One day I looked out the window and saw Vincent and the others getting into a van. I asked my superior, where are they going? She said, to an institution where the state health department would teach them a trade to read and to write. The families were required to sign papers with a little clause that they could not visit for 6 months. They couldn't visit them for 6 months. They were told visits would interfere with the program and might cause them to become homesick. As time passed, letters started to dribble back saying that these people died a natural, merciful death. The villagers were not fooled. We suspected what was happening. The people left in excellent physical health and all died within 6 months. It's called euthanasia. Next came gun registration. I couldn't wait to get to this part. People were getting injured by guns. So since people were getting injured by guns, Hitler said that the real way to catch criminals, we still had a few, the real way to catch criminals was by matching serial numbers on guns. Most citizens were law-abiding and dutifully marched to the police station to register their firearms. Not long afterwards, the police said that it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. The authorities already knew who had them because they had registered them. So it was futile to not comply voluntarily because we know who all owns the guns because we made you register. Sound familiar? No more freedom of speech. Anyone who said something against the government was taken away. We knew many people who were arrested, not only Jews, but also priests and ministers who spoke up. So that's why I fully expect to, you know, I'm not speaking nothing negative. I'm just saying this. I realize the time I'm living in. I could be one of those ministers that disappears. Totalitarianism didn't come quickly. It took 5 years from 1938 until 1943 to realize full dictatorship in Austria. Had it happened overnight, if it had happened overnight, my countrymen would have fought to the last breath. Instead, we had creeping gradualism. Just happened a little bit at a time. Now our only weapons were broom handles. The whole idea sounds unbelievable that the state, little by little, eroded our freedom. She says, this is my eyewitness account. It's true. Those of us who sailed past the Statue of Liberty came to a country of unbelievable freedom and opportunity. America is truly the greatest country in the world. She says, don't let freedom slip away. After America, there is no place to go. So there's no talking about it. Ain't no need of saying, well, I'm just going to leave America and go someplace else. There ain't nowhere else to go. Wow. Since the beginning of this year, we've been talking to you about fighting for our families. And just like Kitty Wertherman described the slow and steady way in which her country was taken over by one of the most evil forces in human history, you can clearly see that we are in the identical pattern in the United States right now. As one man, a husband, a father, a son, a brother, a state employee, and a senior pastor, I don't have the political prowess to tell you what to do about what's happening in our country. These matters are much too high for me. Some of the phrases we hear us use is, this is way above my pay grade. Everybody understand that? But I can tell you what I'm going to do to guard my heart and my home from the spiritual influence of what is happening. You see, God has always had his people advancing his kingdom in the earth. Dictators have come and gone. Got to understand, I'm going to give you the word of hope. I told you all of that because you read all that and you go, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, let's just take a look at the big picture. Dictators have come and gone. All kinds of governments and kingdoms have risen and fallen, some of which made concerted efforts to try to exterminate anything, and anyone that had anything to do with God or godly things. So my confidence rests in the true and living God. That's why today I set you up. That's why we started singing today. The Lord reigns. I knew I was going to talk about this. So I wanted to sing The Lord Reigns and look at the scripture where that song comes from. Psalm, the second division of Psalm, the first six verses says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?" All right, so you should be shouting and hollering. Right? "And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion." You see, the people of this world and demonic forces that are behind them from one generation to another have always risen up to say, let's break the bonds and restraints that all these Bible toting, scripture quoting fanatics have put on us. The Bible and God is nothing more than cords that bind them from doing what they want to do and living like they want to live. So let's just get them cast off all the restraints that these saved folks, these Christian folks, and we can't. It's always them. We're trying to make progress in science, and they say we violating God. We're trying to give women their rights, and we violating God. And what goes on behind the closed door between two consenting adults is just their business, and then they always bringing in God. But here's what God says. He said, I already done set up my king and his kingdom. And no earthly government shall ever overthrow God's kingdom, because his kingdom resides within us. His kingdom, what did he say? It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't make any difference what you try to do. You lay down all the rules and laws and restraints, and you can't stop the kingdom of God. In fact, the church has grown massively in every nation where they've done this. And that's why I kind of suspect that's what it's going to take to wake up the church in America. It'll be under this level of persecution that we won't get to see it, because we'll be mostly underground. I suspect that. But that's just amazing to me how the church just thrives when we're no longer in the spotlight and we're not on Newsweek and we're not on TBN and CBS, how much we can thrive when we're not in the spotlight. When we're underground, when I say underground, I literally mean be under the radar. Nobody knows what we're doing and what's going on, then powerful miracles are breaking out all over the place. One of the things I loved experiencing was when we were growing up, my mom and dad constantly took us to hear the missionaries. They would take us to a church on a different side of town. We was ghetto kids. We couldn't help it. We was ghetto kids, and they would take us over to a church where it was all white. And my mom and dad would parade us in there, and we loud and wild and unruly and everything. But she'd make us sit down and listen to the missionaries who would come, get up, and they'd have a slide projector, and they show all these pictures of places that God has sent them. And they would tell these incredible stories of how it took them years and years, but finally somebody would get saved in their village and whole villages would get saved and they'd experience miracles and healings and things like that. None of this stuff was ever, ever talked about on the news, never, ever talked about among the Christian circles, and never. And that's why I'm convinced to this day, the greatest things that have happened in Christian history, we're not gonna even hear about it until we get to heaven. When we're standing there and God is handing out rewards for faithful service, and we'll be like, oh, I never heard of this person. Never even knew that they even lived. One of the things that helped me in the progress of my training to become a minister was to come across a book, several books, but one in particular The Voice of the Martyrs, books that give you, let you hear some of the stories of people who have died for the faith. It gives you a whole different perspective. That's the reason why you hear Pastor Chris constantly saying, I'm not worried about being popular and famous in Harrisburg. I want the Lord to stand. I want to be able to stand before the Lord and him be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know that's what you're looking for also. So that's why I'm preaching and teaching like this. And I encourage you to go back over these last few weeks and look back at some of those things that we talked about our families and rebuilding and everything. One, our theme scripture for this teaching, as you know, has come from Nehemiah 4, where we started at the verse which reads, so we built the wall, the entire wall was joined up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of that, we set a watch against them day and night. And then jumping down to verse 13, he says, therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And then we also combine this with Ephesians 6, verse 12 and 13, which says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And so what we're seeing is the rulers of the darkness of this age are operating in the same way they did 75 years ago. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we took a break, as you know, last week, but before, to talk about the Urban Life Strategy. So let me give you a quick recap of the teaching to this point. So far, we dealt with our failing strength. We dealt with the rubbish we have to work with to rebuild the walls that protect our families. And we talked about the sneak attacks from our adversary. And we concluded by confronting our fears. And so we had promised, and I have promised, that during 2013, I'm going to be making a very intentional effort to help us to fight for our families. I promise that I'm going to be a lot more forthright in calling us to pray and engage in this spiritual warfare for our families. And that's because we must guard the openings in the walls of our hearts and homes. The evil one, he's looking for the gaps in your walls. And we all have them, but the strategy now is to guard the gaps. And just like Hitler used a very subtle and covert strategy to bring down many nations, and just like we're observing the same pattern in our nation today, we can also observe the same strategy when it comes to what's going on in our hearts and homes. So now it's time to recognize what is trying to slip past you as you're standing in the gap. Last week, we stopped here at Nehemiah 4:13, which says, therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And so I talked about positioning men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening and why that was so important. We talked about how the women, how women have been forced to take the leading role in standing in the gap for their families. And this has been for many reasons why they've been forced to do that. There's been all kinds of devastation by divorce, by death, by desertion. And there's too many reasons for me to go into right now. But just to understand that, that I just want to acknowledge that many of them, they've done an awesome job in taking on this role in this position and are doing a phenomenal job in it today. And it's the reason why Mother's Day sees retail stores and restaurant businesses soar on that weekend, while very little, if anything, happens on Father's Day. As an example of the psychological impact of this effect, I share this little story. One Father's Day, my wife made plans to celebrate the day by preparing my favorite meal and giving me a full afternoon to enjoy the things I like to do. You see, Father's Day is a big deal in the Green household because so many fathers, at least in our family, have stepped up. Not everybody, but most have. So, however, the same day, one young lady in our church congregation asked me if she could drop off her kids at our house after church. Now, that wasn't unusual for people to ask to do such a thing because we were always having people come by our house and drop off their kids. No big deal. So without thinking, I said, yeah, sure. However, when I told my wife, she was infuriated because the young lady had already previously asked her and she told her no. So she came to ask me and I said yes. It never even occurred to that young lady. Here's my point. It never even occurred to that young mother that Father's Day was a special day for us. She just saw it as just another Sunday. Well, needless to say, after her children were dropped off at our house, my wife had me to take them home. Now, that story is an example of what I mean. Very little has to do with men and fatherhood. Very little that has to do with men and fatherhood has any real meaning for many people in this era in human history. And that's also the reason why the government can make the moves that it's making in our nation. Obviously, I'm not saying that a single mom or a single dad cannot successfully raise children or build a life for themselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just seeking to bring balance to our understanding and the importance of both men and women, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, in guarding the gaps in the walls. The last time we met, I talked to you about and prayed about the heads of households and their role in leading and guarding their families. And I want to continue to talk to them, but this principle today is going to apply to everybody in guarding your hearts and homes. You see, there are two methods of attack that come from the enemy. When I say enemy, I mean Satan and demonic powers and their influence. When I say demonic, I mean those spiritual entities, personalities that and beings that hate God, and by default, they hate you because you are a creation of God. There is no negotiating with them. There is no making deals with them. There is no making no pacts and alliances or agreements with them. And those who have supposedly done so, they don't realize that they've been deceived and they don't have some great reward awaiting them. Satan and demonic powers gain entry into your life in two ways. It's either by illegal intrusion or through legal access. And today, I just want to talk about the first way the enemy of your soul seeks to come in. It's like a burglar or a home invasion robbery. It's simply illegal. You can say that, illegal intrusion. So let's look at the illegal intrusion, which is basically an attack by which the enemy tries to force his way into your home. First of all, please understand that Satan has no legal right into the life and affairs of a born-again, surrendered heart and life to Jesus Christ. He has no legal right when he barges into the believer's life. He is a trespasser, a violator, and he knows it. He comes into your life hoping that you'll tolerate him. Let me first say that every time something bad happens to you, it does not mean you've been attacked by a demon. Let me say that again. Every time something bad happens to you, it doesn't mean that you've been attacked by a demon. This explanation I'm about to give is kind of oversimplified, but I hope you understand my point. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen, frail, fractured world. Hear me clearly. We live amongst imperfect people who are making choices, and many of those choices affect us and everybody around them. So everything that happens is not a direct attack from some demon. We live in a fallen, frail, fractured world with imperfect people. We live in a world where gas runs out, time moves on, machines wear out, our bodies wear out, accidents happen, plans fail. Just think about it. Even due to gravity, objects fall. If you knock something off the table and it hits the floor and breaks, that's the devil. No, gravity. It's going to fall. That's just the devil. No. You knock the table. You knock the thing off the table and it fell. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You wasn't watching. Why am I saying that? Because some people have tried to make everything so spiritual that they won't just use common everyday sense. That was not the devil. You tripped and fell going up. The devil tried to trip me going up the steps. No, he didn't. You just didn't lift physics. You didn't lift your foot up high enough to go over the... You were tired, you were sleepy, whatever, wasn't paying attention, you were in a hurry, but it wasn't the devil. No demon was sitting on the step just waiting on you to come up so I could trip you. Why am I saying this? So that we don't give the devil credit for everything that's happening into our lives, my Lord. I'm not saying he doesn't attack, but everything ain't an attack of the devil. We live in a fallen, fractured, frail world with imperfect people. Things wear out. Did you talk about your car last week? Our car, you know, batteries wear out. This is the devil. Devil made my battery go. Now, no. We have been driving. Last year we came out and our SUV wouldn't start up. We've been driving the thing for 6 years, ain't replaced the battery. It's the devil made my car nice. No, I didn't replace the battery after 6 years. That's what I mean. It ain't the devil. We live in a world where machines wear down, our bodies wear down, accidents happen. Sometimes we guess and we guess wrong. Sometimes we assume and circumstances change and that makes our assumptions go awry. Sometimes we miscalculate. It was not a demon. And sometimes it wasn't even a particular sin, but we live in a world in which sin and evil have caused the world to be so broken and so unpredictable that things go wrong. So everything negative that happens to us is not always a direct demonic attack. But I can tell you that when things go wrong, sin and satanic powers are always crouching and waiting for the opportunity to take advantage of the negative thing that went wrong. He's right there. Ready to put it in the thought in your mind. Why did God let this happen to you? See, he's right there, ready to blame God. Right there, ready to accuse God or accuse another person. You can run out of money and then get mad at your wife. She should have told me. How many times have you gotten this? Especially if any of you that may have shared cars with a spouse and you get in the car and ain't no gas left in there. So the enemy's right there. Now you're mad and you carry it all day because they didn't put no gas in the car before they gave it over to you. See, that's what I mean. The enemy's right there. Now, it wasn't the devil that caused the car to not have no gas. It was just the husband or the wife that didn't put no gas in it. But the enemy's right there to make it a bigger deal than it had to be. That's how he works. Woo! So he's right there waiting for the opportunity to take advantage of negative situations. And when evil forces jump in to take advantage of the fall or the mishap or the mistake, here's what God says in his word. He says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, with this understanding, what I just said, that we live in a fallen, frail world and where the enemy takes it, takes advantage of the mishaps and the mistakes, then we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Why did I take the time to do that? So that we understand that, well, let me finish the scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In fact, when we talk about putting on the armor, we're actually talking about putting on the very nature of Christ. We're saying put on the very nature of Christ to protect us from the ways the enemy tries to take advantage of the circumstances and the situations where things in life go wrong. The enemy's home invasion is not when that thing went wrong. That's why I said everything is not a demon, because that's not the home invasion when the things went wrong. The invasion comes on the heels of the circumstance, on the heels of the event, on the heels of the bad news. That's when the enemy barges in to take advantage of you and me and our household. So look at the nature of Christ that you and I are able to put on. He says, put on the truth. Truth is protecting against the deception and the lies in that moment. He tells us, put on righteousness. It's protection against sin and its consequences. In that moment, put on the gospel, have your feet tread with the gospel of peace, which protects our daily walk, our everyday life, with the assurance and confidence that God is always with me. He's always for me. How many of you need to know that? Thank you, Lord. He says, lift up the shield of faith. And that protects us against the poisonous accusations. That's what those fiery darts, the poisonous accusations and the attacks of the wicked one. Because when stuff goes wrong, man, it's easy to start blaming or feeling blame. Accusing or feeling accused. And then he tells us salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation, which delivers and protects and preserves our mind and our thoughts. Then the only offensive weapon in the bunch, the word of God, which is the all-powerful weapon of choice that inflicts damage on the wicked one and his influence in our hearts and homes. That's why it's so important to really get to know the word, so that first of all, after you've girded yourself up with truth and put on the blessed breastplate of righteousness and put the gospel of peace on my feet and lifted up the shield of faith and put on the helmet of salvation, that now I speak the word of God into the situation that the enemy is trying to take advantage of. Come on, bless the Lord today. James says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I spoke about this before, but some of the ways the enemy gained access to intrude into your life was through, we didn't even realize how much he was intruding. Horoscopes, psychic readings, mystical objects like statues and jewelry, demon-infested music and movies and violent video games. He literally broke into your home, in my home, coming through the windows of your eyes and your ears, getting directly to your thoughts. The reason why we live in a nation where the government is able to do these things is because for years, homes have been invaded with a thought, with thoughts. The thoughts have come through entertainment and books and media to have the people to accept a certain mindset. There are things that are going on in this world, in this nation alone, that 40 years ago could not have possibly even been on television. Couldn't have even been on TV. But he's keep sending the thought gradually. None of this happened overnight. Gradually, such thoughts as nobody has the right to judge You do movies about it. You do sitcoms about it. And night after night after night, television show after television after television show, no matter what the name of the show, whether it's about a family or one person or somebody on the job, the same message keeps getting repeated over and over again. Nobody has the right to tell me how to live. Nobody has the right. And so it comes out with phrases like, just follow your heart. Just pursue your dreams. Whatever it is that you want to do, I can be what I want to be. I can do what I want to do. And that sounds noble and great until you start finding out what some of the things that people want to do. Till you find out what some people's dream is. That sounds great to say, follow your dreams. And then you find out that my dream is to one day be able to just gun down everybody that don't agree with me. You'd be like, hold up. Well, but you told me I can follow my dreams. Nobody has the right to set the standard. Woo. Pastor Chris really went there today, didn't he? I realize that this may sound like I'm being overly dramatic and maybe a bit too spooky or even religious, but I want you just to consider this. If the enemy of your soul hates you, to what lengths would you go to deceive God's creation and drag them to hell with you? I shared with you the word of God, but I also want to share with you just a personal experience. Way back when I was in my 20s, I absolutely loved the music of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I start flashing back every time I say that, don't I? I may not have been their number one fan, but I was pretty close. And if you're familiar with that band, they incorporated all kinds of mystical symbols and sayings in their music and their lyrics. And I loved listening to their music in my headphones, and that's how I often fell asleep, listening to music. Well, one night I fell asleep listening to their music, and something strange happened. I saw the music in my sleep, and it was like waves and streams of water circling around me. The music was like a fluid, but at the same time, it was like waves and streams of water, all at the same time. It's like air and water. However, flying around in the music was demons. I could barely see them because they were moving too fast, but I knew they were spirits, and I knew they were not friendly. They were encircling me as the music encircled me because they were in the music. I immediately began to panic, and I realized I was still sleeping. And I began to try to wake myself up, but my body was paralyzed. I couldn't move, and I couldn't move in the dream, and I couldn't move in real life. All I could do to break the spell was to say, Jesus. And when I did, I woke up. Now, that was my first encounter and realization that there was more to music than just a good beat, than just a good sound. I didn't know that years later I would become a youth pastor. My wife and I would become youth pastors and work with teenagers, and we would be questioned over and over and over again about what's wrong with listening to worldly music. And to which I give them this answer. It's going to sound weird, but I got to understand I'm talking to teenagers. So ain't nothing wrong with listening to worldly music. Just depends upon what you want to do with your life. And that kind of throws you off when you hear a pastor say, ain't nothing wrong with listening to it. It just depends upon what you want to do with your life. Yeah, because if you want to live a life influenced by the demonic, go ahead. See, that's how you have to talk to teenagers. Go ahead. Because if you tell them don't, they're going to go. So I ain't going to tell them, don't listen to it. Go ahead. Just depends upon what you want to do with your life. If you want to continue to suffer with depression and feel like killing yourself every other day and all the mood swings, because you already got the hormonal thing happening, the last thing you need is have music messing with you, the demonic stuff messing with you, then go ahead. Because you will become whatever you seed into yourself. I find it interesting that one of the rap artists was asked the question if he lets his kids listen to his music. And he said, no, I don't let my kids listen to this. Oh, but it's okay for you to poison all of my kids.
Yeah, that's right.
You can poison my kids with your stuff, but you ain't gonna let your children listen to the very stuff that you putting out. That ought to tell us already that there's something wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
That the artists who are putting the stuff out won't even let their own children listen to their stuff. Okay, but I'm talking about home invasions today. So today, calling upon the heads of households, really all of us, standing in the gap of the walls of our hearts and homes to consider what you allow to pass through the wall, through the gap. If it's the demonic realm, you can be sure that the enemy will take advantage of the opening to attack you and your family. You may find yourself getting depressed for no reason. Here's some of the ways that you can know there's something coming into your house. That's what Pastor Chris is talking about. Those are in the room, those of you that are watching me online especially. This is how you know there's some, you're allowing something to come into your house. You may find yourself getting depressed for no reason, getting anxious for no reason, getting angry for no reason, getting fearful for no reason. You can find yourself with lustful thoughts for no reason, feeling lonely for no reason, and having suicidal thoughts just out of nowhere. And what I'm saying to you, yes, you can trace it back to those times where the enemy invaded your life. Maybe even happened years ago. He rushed through the door. He broke through the windows of your heart and your home. And here's some of the ways it may have happened. You may have just bought a little souvenir while you was on some tropical island vacation. It was just a little statue. You didn't know that the person who made that little god, lowercase g, had prayed over it, that its influence would follow whoever buys this trinket for the rest of their life. Yeah, this is for real. I'm not trying to scare you, but I want you to be aware of the schemes and wiles of your enemy. He doesn't fight fair. He hates you. He hates your kids. And nobody's exempt from his attacks. Like me, you may have just be playing music of your favorite entertainer. But you don't know that you are filling your heart with anxiety and fear and rage and lust and even thoughts of suicide. I read last week that a former pastor's teenage son, some of you may have heard this story, shot and killed the whole family. Again, there was no previous record of violence or any behavioral problems. The world calls it trying to identify it as a mental illness. It's amazing to me how the world and all their intellect tries to classify stuff that's, now I can say this is way above your pay grade. This demonic stuff, you can't, no, it's just a mental illness. No. When you got kids doing something like this who had no previous nothing, and just out of the clear blue, he kills his whole family. No, this is way beyond mental illness. Today, I'm telling you that it was an illegal intrusion, a home invasion by the enemy, taking advantage of the entries that he gains through those violent video games, through movies, through books, through music. Here's some other ways the enemy invades. He invades through bullying and harassing, through accusations, through insinuation, through condemnation, thoughts that he plants into the hearts of people, especially the young. Let me say, don't panic. Don't get into fear. Let's put on the armor. Put on Christ. If you don't have that genuine relationship with Christ, then that's where you got to start today. Not because you're afraid of the enemy. You don't come to the Lord just because you're afraid of the enemy. I don't even encourage people to come to the Lord just because they're scared of hell.
Right.
Come to him because you recognize that you need him. And he wants, and what he wants to do in your heart and your home. Come to him because you see God for who he really is. He came to rescue us from sin and the horrible impact that it has taken upon this world. He came to snatch you out of the hand of the enemy. The madness that you've been dealing with for all, if not most of your life. He came to get you and snatch you out of it. No, he doesn't take you out of the world. You're still going to be in this fallen, frail, fractured world, but you're not just simply left with the consequences. Isn't that awesome to know? Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. And if you need to do that, then let's take care of that right now. You can just say it in your heart right now. Just, Lord, I recognize that I need you, that I must have you. I receive you right now into my heart. Jesus, I invite you to come in. Now I see why you came. Now I see why you died. Now I see why you shed your blood. It was for me. But you didn't stay in the grave. You got up. You rose again. Thank you, Lord. You did it for me. And now, because you live, I too can live. So come into my heart. You are now the king. You're the boss. You're the overseer of my life. I commit every part of my life to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who were like me, you just simply bought a CD of your favorite band. For others, you were watching the horror movies. You really like those horror movies, and you find yourself reciting the spells. You had no idea that this stuff is real, and that's not just entertainment. You have had a home invasion. Some of you just bought a board game or a video game or a Lucky Charm. You recited the mystical pledge. You participated in a seance. You did a psychic reading, or a psychic, or some psychic healer told you to place some object under your pillow or beside your bed. You didn't know that you were being opened up to the spiritual world, but it was not the godly spiritual world. You have had a home invasion. Many years ago, God gave me a dream. I saw thick, poisonous pollution in the sky over an entire city. And as I looked closer, I saw the smog and the smoke pouring out of the windows of homes and apartments. Then I looked closer and I could see into people's homes, and the smog was pouring out of televisions and radios. I didn't know back then that today there would be cable TV and satellite TV and even satellite radio. The poisonous pollution of the enemy is pouring out of everything that we think of as being entertainment. There has been a national home invasion. And I'm not telling you what to watch and what to listen to. I'm not going that deep. I'm just telling you to guard your heart and your home. I know that for me and my wife, we took an active part in guarding our home. Our sons can tell you, because of our roles in the ministry, we just couldn't allow our home to be invaded. Remember that, dear? We were very careful about what we allowed at our home. We were in full-time frontline ministry. We could not. Even when people stayed with us, we set rules about what they brought in, music, videos, anything, what they brought into our house. And when they broke the rules, we knew it instantly. Instantly, because our sleep would be disturbed. We wake up immediately and like, well, okay, somebody done brought something in the house. We knew it immediately. We bought our children their first CD players. We bought their first Christian rap music. We bought it for them. So that we could look it over, see what the lyrics were, and then give it to them. They'll tell you, it was 12, 13 years old. We went to the store and we got it for them. Because we had to be careful about what we was going to be letting in. The rap artists in our church, the young people that wanted to participate in rap and doing all of that, I made them give me their lyrics. Let me read them first before you get up on stage and do them. Because I know I can't let anything just be released out over the congregation in our church. We went with our children when they wanted to get video games. And when we found something outside of the rules, we threw it out. Every once, there were a couple of times after a little while, they had collected some, remember that, Chris? They had collected some games that was off. The daddy said, no, y'all can't have these games. And I bagged them all up. They used their own money and bought these games. And dad bagged up them games and threw them out. And they got the point. See, it's one thing when mom and dad spend the money, but when you get birthday money and all that kind of stuff and buy games that dad said, we don't allow that here in the house. And I caught them, and like, I threw them all away. And now when you get grown and all of that, you can buy what you want, do what you want, but we're telling y'all a little bit about our parenting days. We're not in this house. In my house, no. When they became older and reached adulthood, of course, they make their own choices, but at least they know how serious this is when it comes to home invasion by the enemy. Today, let's close those openings in the wall. So I want you just to join me in these final few moments, these final moments here. Right on time. Thank you, Lord. And we've been praying this prayer each week that we've been meeting. But today, under this subject, we're talking about this illegal intrusion of the enemy, him taking advantage of what we didn't know. We're closing that door today. So I want you to join me in this prayer as we close this discussion today. Determine now that you're going to stop the home invasions in your own heart, in your own home. No, Pastor Chris is not going to visit everybody's house to see what movies and CDs and what pictures are on your walls and all that kind of stuff, what statues and decorations are in your house. It ain't that deep. That's not my role. That's the Holy Spirit's role, because He knows. He knows. Some of you have come from such strict church backgrounds, you couldn't hardly have nothing in the house. My Lord. But it comes down to this. What is the call of God that's upon your life? Where is He trying to take your life? I can only say that as a leader and as a pastor, especially since we were working with young people, we had to set an example. So there's a whole lot of stuff we just could not have in the house, because if we did, it would have given them permission to have it. Because the first words would be, Pastor Chris got it. That'd been the first words out their mouth. Pastor Chris got it. So what's your role? What's your responsibility? Where is God calling you? Act accordingly. Come on, let's just pray this together in these final moments. Recognizing that my fight is not against flesh and blood, political parties, activist groups, or social movements. I stand here in the gap for my family with the spiritual weapons of prayer, praise, worship, and the Word of God. I declare that I am not afraid of spiritual enemies. I remember the Lord, great and awesome, as I fight for my brothers and sisters, my sons and daughters, my spouse and my household. According to the promise in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that accuses us in judgment, we will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our vindication is from the Lord. So, Father God, I receive your grace, favor, protection, and wisdom. And I thank you for giving your angels charge over me and my family to keep us in all of our ways. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you're going throughout this week, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what doors you need to close, what gaps you need to close, the things that it's time to put a stop to because of where God is taking. That's a very personal, where God is taking me and my family. It's according to where God is taking me. There are certain things, because of where I'm headed, I have to lay it aside. It's a weight for me. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Thank you, Lord. Next week, we'll talk to you about the illegal Today we talked about the illegal intrusions. Next week we're going to look at the legal intrusions that the enemy can use to gain access to our hearts and homes. It's going to be enlightening, and we're going to slam the door in the enemy's face. I want you to see that picture. Keep that mental image with the enemy walking up to your door and just when he gets to the threshold. I want you to hold that thought. It's going to be enlightening. It really is. And we're going to live healed and free. Healed and free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord.